Now it's time for our daily Bloomberg Law Brief, exploring legal issues in the news. And today, Bloomberg Law hosts June Grasso and Michael Best discuss a Supreme Court decision concerning free speech. The justices threw out the conviction of a man who used graphic language on Facebook to suggest he might kill his wife, kindergarten students, and an FBI agent. They speak with William & Mary Law School professor Timothy Zick and University of North Carolina School of Law professor Bill Marshall.
Timothy, will you begin by explaining the basic facts of the case?
Well, Ilanis has posted to Facebook a number of statements in which he seemed to have threatened bodily injury or worse to his wife, to kindergarten children in his area, to an FBI agent, and to some of his former co-workers. And that, of course, eventually got the attention of federal authorities, and he was arrested and charged with communicating a threat under federal law. In the context of his Facebook posts and his online rants, as he called them, Ilanis sometimes would take on a persona that he called Tone Dougie, in which he proclaimed to be a rap artist of sorts. So some of what he wrote and what he posted was actually put into verse. And he put certain disclaimers as well on some of his posts and was ultimately arrested, charged, and convicted under this federal statute.
So, Bill, why did the Supreme Court throw out his conviction?
Well, they did it on a very narrow statutory construction, saying that under the federal law under which he was prosecuted, the notion that he said words that a reasonable person might interpret as threatening wasn't enough, and that there would have to be more of an intent basis of, and the court was ambiguous on this, of whether he intended to threaten the person in question or whether or not he was reckless with respect to what he said and whether or not that would threaten the subject of his communications.
Timothy, so this man is not off the hook.
Well, it's unclear because the case now will go back to the Third Circuit, which could decide on a couple of different bases that his conviction should stand, notwithstanding what the Supreme Court has held. And Justice Alito, in his concurring and dissenting opinion, offered some possible ways for that to occur. So it really depends on what the Third Circuit does with the case when it's remanded to it.
The court pretty expressly refused to say whether it would be enough to convict the defendant if he had recklessly made these posts. Why did the court not want to decide that issue?
Well, as a technical matter, what they said was the issue hadn't been briefed to them, and they did not like to decide questions unless those issues have been fully briefed or considered below by the lower court. So that was their narrow reason of not deciding that particular issue.
And that was William & Mary Law School professor Timothy Zick and University of North Carolina School of Law professor Bill Marshall speaking with Bloomberg Law hosts June Grasso and Michael Best. You can listen to Bloomberg Law weekdays at 5:30 p.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio.
Now, some of the top legal stories from Bloomberg Law, according to a person familiar with the matter who spoke to Bloomberg News. It was FIFA's number two official under President Joseph Blatter who authorized a $10 million payment that U.S. prosecutors have characterized as a bribe. The money was allegedly paid in exchange for a voting member's ballot to make South Africa the host country for the 2010 World Cup. If FIFA's Secretary General Jerome Valcke was involved, it would bring the indictment of international soccer officials closer to Blatter, who wasn't charged last week. FIFA said today Valcke was not involved, that the payment was actually approved by the former chairman of FIFA's Finance Committee, who died last year.
A decade and a half after the federal government won a big antitrust victory against Microsoft, the software company is back in court fighting the IRS over the possible return of attorney David Boies as a Microsoft adversary. Boies, who is now 74, didn't respond to a request for comment. His antitrust victory back in 2000 was altered on appeal when judges overturned a breakup of the company. Microsoft is asking a court to enforce its public records request for documents on the government's contract with Boies, Schiller, and Flexner. Microsoft has questioned the decision to use outside lawyers and amend IRS regulations to allow non-government employees to question witnesses under oath as part of a tax audit.
Former Kleiner, Perkins, Caulfield & Byers junior partner Ellen Powell says she'll appeal her loss in a gender bias trial against the firm. Powell is currently interim chief executive officer of Reddit and had said after the verdict that she was ready to move on. Her notice of appeal, filed in state court in San Francisco, included no specifics on her grounds for challenging the verdict. A jury soundly rejected her claims that she was preyed upon by male colleagues during her 7 years at Kleiner, then denied a promotion and fired when she complained about her treatment. She's also fighting Kleiner's bid for almost $1 million in court costs.
And that's this morning's Bloomberg Law Brief. You can find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com and BloombergBNA.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com and BloombergBNA.com for more information.